Yeah, I've updated the page to show Ken, Todd, Michael, and Peter to be on the call. Todd, are you there yet?
Yes, Peter.
Ah, great, great. I think we better start. We're not expecting anyone else, at least not anyone who has told us they're coming. Excuse me. So, Ken, would you take over the meeting? I'll take notes.
Okay.
Get on from there.
So call the order to meeting. Call the meeting to order. And we've taken the roll. And now let's see, status review and discussion. I don't know that there's any particular. Are there any outstanding? Well, there is an outstanding issue, but we'll get to that with the sandbox.
Okay. Right.
So running through the items in the agenda, we've reached item 4. So there's the postmortem of the last couple of workshops. Metadata.
Item 4 being metadata. Hey, Ken, what page are you looking at?
Are you on the chat?
Chat?
The link is on the chat.
Right.
The link is on the chat, right. And I'm at...
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong section of the page.
So I'm looking at item 34CA.
C8.
Postmortem. And we just had a couple of meetings.
Well, I guess we've only had one meeting since one metadata session.
We had one metadata session, right?
So I guess as a summary, the last metadata session, we had presentations from the, the ontology research group.
Yeah, representation working group.
Working group.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not really prepared here.
Peter, who is that ontology representation working group associated with? I was just looking at it the other day, but I forget right now.
NCI, essentially.
Hi, this is Brian. I'm on that, and it's NCI and NCBO Stanford are on it. NCRI, our colleagues from England were in it, but their funding is ending this spring, so they'll not contribute anymore.
Thank you, Brian.
Right. And so at that session, we had kind of a joint presentation from Harold Solbrig, Sherry DeCoronado, and Brian also participated in that, and gave an overview of the work that they've been doing, particularly what Harold was calling a kind of a crosswalk between OMV, the metadata as presented at OMV, and the other project that they're working on, CTS2, Common Terminology Services. And so he gave the group there gave a nice overview of some of the issues that they've encountered. I guess we didn't really have a lot of time to kind of digest some of the relationships and come up with some steps forward. I guess that would be something we might want to have an upcoming session where we do sort of a what's the next step from here, and maybe have some discussions as to the nature and degree of collaboration. For an upcoming metadata session, we'll probably be focusing on some of the work that Mike Bennett's been doing in the metadata, particularly related to some of the financial industry initiatives. So I guess if the metadata workshop 5 would be Mike Bennett's work, then
so that was 5 6. Was 5 oh, was the ORWGs,
yeah.
That would be 6.
Right, 6. Yeah, so then 7 would be Mike Bennett, and possible 8 would then be a kind of another meeting with the NIH-NCI Ontology Research Representation Working Group, and see if we can come up with some concrete plans along those lines.
Yeah, so this is Brian. Just to let you guys know, we are kind of suspending the ORWG group starting this Thursday. But it's only because we're wrapping it into, or we will wrap it into, a larger effort around other standards also. So this ORWG was really concentrated on standards that impinge upon how one represents ontologies. And so we think that we've taken it pretty far in terms of influencing OMV and CTS2, and NCBO is adopting some of those recommendations in their bioportal. That being said, there are some things that are left undone, but we see that this kind of work is needed across other standards which are important to NCI, CBIT, and CABIG. For example, error handling, interfaces, metadata, et cetera. So we're actually going to embark on a larger project within the next couple months, trying to put together a standards inventory with some tools around it so that people can, you know, try to look up what standards impinge upon them, not just vocabulary standards, but standards that influence or have impact upon interoperability, security, like I said, interfaces, et cetera. And just to let you know, this isn't necessarily a new idea. The Department of Defense actually has something internal that they call the DISR, the Defense Information Standards Repository, that we're looking to leverage. And also our colleagues at NCRI had something called the Cancer Info Matrix, which was essentially an interface that allowed you to look in a certain point of view to find the standards that were important to you.
So which standards are you going to be kind of, you said that you're going to be folding this effort into some other work related to standards. What other standards are you focusing on?
Well, so like I said, it's a chicken egg thing, but we think that there will be standards in each domain, and we're looking across from the molecular analysis domain to the tissue banking domain to the clinical domain. But then in another dimension, there will be information standards and representations. So, well, OWL, UML, et cetera. And then in there will be technological and engineering standards that we'll have to, you know, inventory also, schemas, web services, security, et cetera. So, you know, it's hundreds, basically. But what the DoD does is that they don't just have a list of 100 standards that's not useful to anybody. What they do is then they find out in each domain and in each circumstance, they essentially make a profile and say, all right, in this instance for this type of domain or this specific application or this suite of applications, this is the profile of standards you'll have to consider. So we think that's a useful paradigm that we'll probably mimic, at least in a prototype.
This is evidently very interesting and relevant. I just, Peter here, I just wanted to say that, Brian, I don't know if you realize, Michael Grinegar here, who runs our metadata workshops, also runs a series called the with OOR, and also on behalf of the a committee at IAOA, the International Association of Ontologies and Applications, on facilitating standards. Right.
Yeah. So we have a technical committee on
coordinating committee.
Yeah, and as part of that effort, we had a couple of sessions last fall on kind of standards related to ontologies in some way, either standards that contain ontologies or standards that are somehow support the ontology lifecycle, or standards that actually are ontologies, ontology languages, and whatnot. So, maybe we should kind of coordinate a little bit more in the next little while to see what we can do along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to take you away from specifically what you're going to talk about, but I just wanted to warn you that the ORWG itself is going to be disbanded and will probably reorient some of those people into this larger standards effort. But at any rate, Sherry DiCoronato and I will still be involved, so we need contact for that. But yeah, Michael, maybe you can send me some information about that, since we're trying to put together this, at least an outline or a skeleton of what this inventory resource would look like, at least on the back end. And actually, are you familiar with Gene Stanford at MITRE?
Gene Stanford? No, I don't think I've met Gene Stanford.
Okay, so Harold Solberg had done an analysis for CABIG of the semantic standards that we needed to be concerned with in 2009. And he leveraged some work that he had gotten from Gene Stanford, and I just recently reconnected with her. She has kind of a nice taxonomy of standards, which I think might be a way of organizing our thoughts, again, at least on the back end, to the kind of standards we have to consider. So maybe I'll send an email to you with pointers to those things, and then you can send me back any information you have.
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to say the point of this technical kind of committee is mainly to coordinate between the ontology community and the standards community, and also to facilitate kind of wider and deeper discussions between those two communities using specific projects as kind of like the starting point. So this might be a nice opportunity to really gather a big critical mass of people in both communities.
Yeah, Brian.
Okay.
I typed your name wrong. Sorry. But I pasted that onto the chat.
Oh, great. Thank you. I see it.
And it actually is at the lower part of this session page. If you click on that, it shows the few sessions Michael has already run. Of course, you don't know what he's coming up with, which actually we'll be talking about fairly, fairly quickly.
Right.
Onto the agenda. If you go through some of the slides, most of the connections are probably mentioned somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd, what were you going to say?
A quick question. Brian, when Brian started talking about Dizzer, it brought to mind a question for me. Now, in fact, I've actually written some of the profiles that go into Dizzer, and one of the things they have in there are essentially operational context, as Brian referred to, where are these things used? And the question that came to mind is, in OMV, is there any notion of context, operational context?
Not explicitly. There are some tags that do refer to kind of domains. Let me look it up here.
Well, maybe that's something we need to consider in terms of OOR, since we were going to – I think we've already agreed that we need to extend OMV in some fashions.
Okay, why can you type that onto the chat for posterity? This is a good thought.
I'm having a hard time getting at my keyboard. I'll try. I have a cat in the lap.
like there are ontology tasks and ontology domains. So I guess it would kind of depend on some more discussion of what they might mean by context.
Well, specifically operational context. Domain might be a little broader than what I think is usually entailed for the DISR operational context. I'm in communications, or say, for instance, but what sort of communications am I doing? Satellite communications? Am I doing mobile communications? You get down to a little more specific scenarios, if you like.
Right, but I think that's, again, what OMB might consider to be a domain. Whereas the ontology task is similar to what we were talking about last year at the Ontology Summit when we were kind of doing the use case kind of profiling, right? So what kind of
right, that's
how is ontology being used, which is kind of
a lower level of detail, more specification is how things are happening. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Brian. Todd, we think in terms of three dimensions. We think of what's the actual data or software that's going to be interoperating or passed, plus the what we call the deployment context, which I think you're getting down to. It actually has to be, you have to start talking about implementation specific things. And then finally, the domain it's considered in. For example, in the clinical world, they use messaging. In the molecular analysis world, they use X. They don't use messaging unless you think of XML as message. So three dimensions. What you're actually trying to interoperate on, the deployment context, and then the domain.
Again, each of those, I think, are much lower-level details. In the context of the DISR stuff, those profilers go down from the – or go from the general to the more specific.
Right.
Brian, you mentioned DISR. Is that run out of DISR?
Yes.
Yeah, and then what was the other acronym you were talking about? Could you type that out onto the chat?
Oh, right.
Please? Yeah. The other one was related to biomedical, right? Repository or?
Yeah, it's from NCRI, the National Cancer Research Institute in England. Or Britain.
So NCRI's repository, or what do you call it?
Yeah, I've never typed in this, so I'm hoping this works.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. I'll type it out. Don't worry.
All right. Good. Great. Hey, this is good. So just wonderful. Looks like we have a lot of stuff in common.
Yeah, some of this might actually migrate over, though, to this other, or the other, or kind of other ontolog thing of the standards, ontologies and standards, et cetera,
right.
Rather than being part of OOR, but we can work that out later.
Yeah.
So I think that was it from the kind of the recap.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think it's great, first of all, to have you guys invited us over to the ORWG meeting and then having you at an OR meeting, and I think everything is positive, so stay in touch.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Michael. That was really an excellent report. Now, the next item, 3-4-CC, is the meeting last week, actually, which was the architecture and API workshop. And let's see. I think it's Todd, you and I co-chaired that, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We actually have some action items come out of that.
So there's some action items. Where are the action? I'm looking through the page.
There were three of them, I thought.
But where are the action?
I'm looking at the page. It had to do. I'm looking. See, it's in the chat, Mike. In chat, Ken. Oh, and the question for you, Michael. One of the things I think we wanted to do was create some code to automatically generate the metadata interface from the OMV specification.
Right.
And I was going to ask one of my sons to do that, and I started looking at the OMV specification itself, and I didn't have time to spend a lot of time looking at it closely to see how it would happen, but an initial review suggested that there's insufficient specification of the constraints on each of those classes to automatically generate an interface from it without a lot of extra work. Did I miss something?
Exactly what do you mean by an interface, though?
I want to generate Java classes directly out of that OWL file.
I
think if we could do something like that, that would, I believe, would help a BioPortal, or at least give them something of use directly.
Okay, I'm going to have to check to see other people that are using OMV to see what they do in this case. The BioPortal people use OMV for some of their things, so they should have some interface there.
They're not generating that interface directly from the OWL specification of OMV.
Well, no, but then to find out like what how they're dealing with the gap there.
Oh.
Okay, I'll take that as an action item to find out exactly how other users of OMV are generating interfaces, Java classes for interfaces.
Okay, I suspect that you're just writing them out by hand. But okay.
Yeah, I personally think it was great. Thanks to Todd for reverse engineering the BioPortal architecture and walking us through it. I think the very positive thing is we decided to have three sort of branched and coordinated projects to move ahead with on in terms of coding. I think that's great. It's a good start. I mean, so we're dividing into three prongs of coding approach, coding efforts. One from Ken's group with Todd, one from Mike Dean's group, and one from Michael Gruninger's group. I think the downside of things is we would have been lovely if we had more people. I think the OR meetings are sort of getting smaller and smaller, except for, let's say, the presentation sessions. So it looks like more people are interested in hearing what's going on than people are interested in doing things, which may or may not be a worry, but I guess we might want to talk about that a little more.
Well, people are getting paid to do other things. I mean, that's
which is like, and they're not getting paid.
Well, anyway, getting back to the report on the meeting, there I found it now. It's there were three items. I'm spearheading with Todd the gatekeeping aspect. And Mike Dean is working on federation. Michael, you're, of course, working on metadata. The problem that arose regarding this integration with the code is how to build a new tab, basically. The idea would be to start evolving and extending the software by introducing new tabs that would have capabilities. And unfortunately, right now, I attempted to do what was explained in the BioPortal documentation that I had, or actually from an email, and it didn't work. So I sent off an email last week already to ask how to deal with this. That was to Paul Alexander, and have not gotten any sort of response. Well, actually, it wasn't to Paul Alexander. I guess I just put it out to the OR dev mailing list, but still, we haven't gotten any sort of response at the moment from anybody who would know how to deal with this problem.
Yeah, I think if we know exactly who could answer it, if we address it in person, we probably stand a better chance to get a quick answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're stuck right now, because I don't know.
Wouldn't that be Paul Alexander?
Yeah, I think try Paul Alexander first. If it's not him, then he'll say it's not me. Go ask Natasha Noy or something. I think Paul is the right. I mean, he wrote up the TAP development piece, block. Yeah, so he should be the first line of contact.
Right. It does seem to be that we have to go through them, through BioPortal, since after all, it's their software that we're using at this point. In fact, it's not just software we're putting on our system, we're putting on an entire image, right? So, okay, I guess I'll send off an email then to Paul Alexander. Hopefully we'll get some response.
Yeah.
I don't see any other way.
One of the other issues that came up during last week's architecture conversation, specifically in regard to adding this new functionality, was that there was an overlap with some existing functionality. And I don't think we resolved as to how to deal with that conflict. Is that correct, Ken?
Yes, it's. I mean, we're dealing with an existing system that is evolving, and we certainly can do customization and tweaking of various things. But if we want to actually, insert substantial amounts of new functionality, which overlap with the existing functionality, we have to think about how that could possibly be put into this framework. Which, as I say, is actually evolving as we speak.
Right.
So it's quite a moving target. For instance, a lot of the functionality in the past was buried in this image format, and they're moving away from that, which would make it a lot easier to evolve, but they still have some of that.
Well, I think the specific one that comes to my mind, mostly because it impacts the gatekeeper, is where they put their access to the submit capability. That is, you want to add a new ontology to the repository, and for some reason they put it on the browse page. And I believe that one of the agreements we came to last week is that these three new things that we're going to be working on would have their own separate tabs. And if there is a separate tab for the gatekeeping, which would involve the upload or registration of an ontology, then that would be in conflict with the current layout and operation of BioPortal. Is that correct?
That's correct, although I think it would be pretty easy to remove that.
But then remove it
from their browse page.
Yeah, but then the issue comes with that. Now we start... diverging from the core BioPortal, at least in terms of the end user perspective.
Okay, well there's the core BioPortal, which is a RESTful service, which is different from the UI.
Understood, but what I'm getting at was from the end user perspective, we now have a difference. And I don't think we've come to an agreement on how to address that.
Yeah, well, it comes down to a usability issue that's hard to see. But I think it's inevitable that our UI will start to diverge from the BioPortal UI simply because, we have a very different set of use cases.
Agreed.
What they have. Their system is a centralized system. Ours is federated. I mean, it's a good deal different. Anyway, but aside from that, I think we should just focus on these three right now. And think about whether we could actually handle those with just tabs. Federation seems to be more of an administrative type thing, and they have a separate admin UI. So I would think it would be Mike Dean would be modifying the admin UI, but that's something he would have to look into.
But I think another issue, do they have role-based access in terms of the tabs that show up on the user's UI? Or do you have to go to a separate URL for administration?
Administration is a separate thing, quite a separate user interface, separate URL.
Oh.
Whole different service. No, I don't think they have roles. They just have projects and users. I don't see that. And when I looked up, when I tried to insert a new ontology, then there was the question of, there's the question of, you know, IP, you know, license rights. Can you specify a license? And there is a way of putting something like that in, but it seems to be quite informal.
Isn't there a sort of an implicit assumption that everything that goes into BioPortal is freely available?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's when you look at their interface for submitting a new ontology, they have where is it?
I want to take a step on at Todd's question.
I'm not even sure they have a notion. Do they have a notion of it, of licensing?
They, I mean, this probably in OMV, which they may or may not have implemented fully. But one thing, though, is previously, I mean, to answer Todd's question, previously anything that's there is exposed. And more recently, they have gone into the an implementation that allows one to specify whether or not you want to expose your uploaded ontology. So you could specify that it's exposed or it is limited to a certain group of users.
That was one of the
new updates that Ray Ferguson was telling us about, sort of one of the bigger things that they implemented when we had that joint session.
Right. It's if you look at the submit new ontology screen right now, there doesn't seem to be anything about ontology viewing restrictions. That's what it is. They are public, private, and licensed.
Oh, really? Cool.
But then when you look at licensed, it says, the text below explains what licensing information you want to collect before allowing access. I'm not sure what that means. And then they say, please enter your license number in the box below to access this ontology.
It's a new way to generate revenue.
I'm a little bit puzzled by what this is. You have to put in a license number. They collect that license number and then let you look at the ontology.
So it gives you a license number if you pay them.
Netflix are the porn sites, right?
I don't know what this is. Pornographic ontologies? Ooh, that would be different. I was staring at this and I had no idea how I would put in a license for one ontology that was actually, that somebody asked me to put up, to put in the OOR. How would you put in that it's a VSD license? How would you put in that it's...
No, I don't think that's what they're looking for. I mean, with this BSD, I mean, they're looking for, like all the commercial software, they're looking for you to enter like a 20 characters length string that is a license that they would make a call to make sure that's a valid license and then allow you to download the stuff.
Like a product key or something?
Yeah, exactly, like a product key. So they're not looking for BSD or GPL. I mean, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for
It's clearly more of a product key than
than a license type.
Than a copyright notice. Which is what I would think of as a viewing restriction, or at least one possible viewing restriction. And it doesn't seem to have that kind of capability, so I don't see how I can put some of these ontologies in, because they do have, you know, like freely available for non-commercial use kind of things. But, you know, if you're going to use it commercially, then you have to notify somebody. Which just seems to be common enough, right? I mean, you see that a lot. Anyway, so there are clearly little things that we could do to hopefully make the. That wouldn't change the interface very much, right? Just adding one more case to the licensing. To the viewing restrictions?
I don't think we've thought through all of the user interactions for the licensing part.
Yeah, clearly not.
And, Michael, you're still on the line. How does OMV deal with licensing issues? Do you remember?
I don't think it explicitly does.
Right, if it doesn't deal with it, I mean, it gives you the space to enter what license your thing is licensed under.
Okay. Well, I'm not even sure if that's...
I believe I've seen something like that before.
Yeah, but it's not prescriptive in that way.
Right. It's just a field, like enter your last name. I mean, it doesn't do anything. I mean, after you enter your last name.
Well, there is the license model, which is a class. Let's see what it has here.
And then if we have this licensing capability, which I think we all agree we need, then that has to have a direct connection to access control to the thing, which gets to the gatekeeper. And then somehow you have to have a way to associate the license with a group of users who have access and the ability then to add new users based on their acceptance of the license agreement or payment of fee or some nonsense.
Yeah, it just has a class that describes the usage conditions for an ontology, it says, within the license model class. And then it provides, you know, descriptors for, you know, what kind of license model it is. But I don't believe that it kind of requires it. Let's see.
So these are getting down to these ugly operational details of how the thing's actually going to work in practice.
Right. Yeah. I guess we'll have to provide the logic.
The logic isn't that big a problem because in the code that we have, we just assume we have this engine, a business process modeling engine, and so you can just put your functionality into this process model language, which seems to be
right.
A good place to put it.
But then that has to connect to whatever data is entered in the metadata. If it doesn't have a license, then you don't have to invoke that particular process. If it does have a license, then you have to invoke that process, but depending on the license, maybe you have to do some sub-processes or additional constraints that have to be realized.
Yeah, that can be arranged, provided that
we know what they are.
We actually know where they are, and we have them. You know, we have to have them in the metadata.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's simpler when you look at the whole ontology as a monolithic thing, but once you get into modular ontologies and you start mixing and matching, then certain licenses could mix with others, and maybe other licensing models don't quite appreciate that. So more logic will need to come in.
Yeah.
And you need lawyers in between to tell you what works and what doesn't. And what's the sort of end result?
It all depends on putting that into the appropriate process model, into the process model language. And it can, for example, indicate what other licenses that a given license is compatible with. And if it isn't compatible with one, then you simply can't interoperate. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like that's a fundamentally difficult problem.
Just need to be implemented.
It's definitely doable in the current framework. What we need is to integrate that framework in, which we haven't done yet, and we're kind of stuck right now trying to find a way to integrate it into the current BioPortal code. If we can get that tab stuff going, that would be a definitely big, big step forward, I think.
Yeah, so the stuff about licensing, I think, is not the high priority item just yet.
No. I think it is.
Yeah. That's the whole thing that differentiates us from a lot of other people, I mean, who host a bunch of ontologies.
Yes, but until we have the gatekeeping capability functional, we don't have a very good way to introduce these constraints imposed by licensing.
Oh, obviously. I mean, all the modules that we talked about needs to be functional before we mean anything.
So when I talked about the high priority, I meant the things that we've already agreed we need to do. And then there are dependencies for all these other items.
Yeah, it really seems to put a lot of importance on getting that gatekeeper, process in place. Because we can't have these other features until we have that.
Well, we could, but given the lack of manpower, it would end up being a waste of time.
Yeah, I'd rather not, just be implementing these things ad hoc rather than have a systematic way that they can all be implemented. So if there's a way of doing something using the business process language, then we should defer it to that if at all possible.
Hey, Peter, I put something in the chat box for you. I don't expect an answer right now, but maybe something will come to mind later.
Okay.
Yeah, this is actually something that was coming up even with Calore, because when we were working with Cameron, I mean, we kind of adopted this very open kind of license. But, that might – I haven't actually spoken with, say, with somebody like Adam Pease, but that might preclude us from including, a translation of Sumo in Calore, because Sumo would have its own license restrictions, and that might conflict with the kind of more open licensing that we were going to have with Calore.
It's just that we use, let's say, the two clause BSD, which is sort of most unencumbered. He uses like GPL2, and if you
Adam Pease.
So if you mix those, the end result will become a GPL version 2 product.
Oh, okay.
And then, because they are viral and we aren't. I mean, meaning the default OOR.
Right.
So the end product becomes sort of carries a viral license, GPL v2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I mean, these are the logics that need to be built in afterwards.
Yeah, I feel that can be done.
Oh,
We have this plugin installed, and it would kind of change the discourse a little bit from just talking about these things to actually specifying the relationships among the various licenses. Anyway, so I'll take care of sending a note out to try to get that moving. And so I guess that's the main action item. Michael, is there anything you would need?
In terms of what?
To implement metadata and mapping in the OR?
I'm still kind of working through that. Probably have a better assessment of that as I get kind of deeper into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they do use OMV. Do you know how the OMV is implemented within the within BioPortal?
No, not explicitly. That's kind of, like I say, part of my action item.
This is Brian. From what I know, it's bits and pieces. So,
yeah, I mean, I was looking at the at one of their databases, which implements frames.
Yeah. Yeah. Sherry and Trish had kind of done a mapping of it, and I can point you guys at that if you want me to. It's not at the level of really heavy-duty implementation, but at least it might be a start. Do you want me to point you to that?
Yeah, it'd be good to get some pointers to find out where it actually resides within the BioPortal code.
Yeah, it's not at that. It's not at that level.
What do you mean?
It's at the level of this is what OMV says, and does NCBO have it or not? Doesn't say exactly where it is.
I see. So it's more in the sense of, you know, they're compatible with the spirit of it.
Right. It's at the level that Harold had done for mapping OMV to CTS2. It actually says where fields are and where they aren't. I mean, it says this field is in OMV and this field is in CTS2, but it doesn't say where it's at in the code.
I see.
Or the role that it plays. See, that's kind of the more important
right.
thing, not necessarily where it resides in the code, but exactly the role that it plays. Is it actually used, or is it just an annotation?
Right. But it might be a starting place for maybe a discussion with Ray. Or someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll point it to it, and if it's useful, fine. If it's not, also fine. Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some interesting issues of trying to interface between an OWL ontology and, like, you know, something like Java classes, because Java classes don't have multiple inheritance. And things like that. But I don't think they're not implementing it in that fashion, I don't think. Nor would they even envision doing that. Okay. So that's enough for that. Did you capture any of this discussion then, Peter?
Only if they're captured on the chat.
Okay. Well, you have it. Okay. It's in the chat.
Yeah, I captured some, but not in any kind of detail. I just saved. So if, wait. Still saving. All right. It's saved. So if you refresh and look below 34cc. And that's what I've captured.
Great. Yeah. You got it.
So Michael will look into Java code generation from OMV. Was that the question I sort of didn't know how to characterize?
No, that sounds good, yeah. Right.
That's good. Yeah. All right. See how we're doing for time. Not much time. How long is this going to be? Is this a 1 hour or 1.5 hour meeting?
Up to you. Your meeting now.
Okay.
Ask us, I mean, whether we want to run or need to run.
I have to leave in about 9 minutes. I have to get ready for another meeting.
Yeah, if we could wrap up in an hour, that'd be good.
Okay, so let's plan on that. The next item is sandbox, devbox, SOCOP instance status. So there was a lot of activity on that, and reCAPTCHA is working now, which is great because we were getting spam already.
Does that mean our status has moved up in the web world?
There's some issues with the logo color. Hopefully we'll get that straightened out later. The customization has been documented reasonably well now. So how many instances of OOR do we have running right now?
Yeah, actually, I have good news to report. We have OOR-01. That is the old instance. Let's call that version 2.6 for lack of a better reference. And then we currently, I mean, as of yesterday, have two new versions. Call that NCBO Appliance 0.4. One is OR-03, which is still referenced as OR-03, and one OR-04, which is referenced as or accessed as socop.or.net. And as of now, I just got an email from Xinye about 6 minutes ago. We have two more instances now, OR-05 and 06. They're both cloned from yesterday's status of OR-03. They're both cloned from OR-03 as of yesterday. I mean, with the NCBO Appliance 0.4 and all the customizations up to that point, up to yesterday. And
okay, what is 02?
Nothing is 02. I don't.
There is no 02.
I don't think there's any 02.
Okay.
As of now.
I just want to make sure because we're going one. We go from 1, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right. I think 02 was reserved for something and we never got around to using it. The number. The number doesn't matter because that's only an internal reference. Eventually everything will be addressable as, let's say, sandbox.or.net or dev.or.net or socop.or.net and so on. So we have 5 and 6. 5 will end up, 3 will end up as sandbox, 4 as socop, 5 as dev, and 6 is an extra one that people could kick around with. And for the time being, I would call it test-00. So you can put something up for testing without even worrying about sort of messing up dev. And we can make an image of that. And once after you test, maybe you don't have to restore it, and we could sort of roll it back to where it started. Mm-hmm. So that's my plan for now. They're both at my home office now, and once it clears, and we are happy with the working, we don't need a lot of console access, then I'll move it to the data center. And the other thing about Wittgenstein, originally I was thinking of doing 05 and 06 on Wittgenstein, but we've decided against it because of some hardware requirements, even when we go to the CentOS KVM platform, which both us and CIM3 and Stanford are both moving on to. Their next release of the NCBO appliance will be supplied to us, at least not not sort of in a SAN image, which we asked for last time, but it will be on a KVM image. And we're moving the entire sort of virtualization infrastructure over to KVM, which is something that Red Hat is supporting as they sort of spun off from SAN. So Wittgenstein will be repurposed to support, at least for us, our first KVM-based virtualization infrastructure. That would sit, again, in my home office with access to the console for a while until we are comfortable, and then I'll move that to the data center. Yeah, this is a huge machine. It'll have 32 gigabytes of RAM. So it will really facilitate churning huge ontologies in RAM.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, so we don't have much time left, so let's just go right on to upcoming events. Is there any new planning needs to be done?
Yeah, I think that would be urgent. We are totally out of event planning now. So while we still have a few minutes, let's make sure we write up some new ones. So, Michael.
So,
the rest of your lap.
Yeah, the rest of February is kind of pretty chaotic for me, but we could schedule something for the beginning of March. I'll contact Mike Bennett to see what day would be best for him. I think that would be the next thing for the metadata workshop would be with Mike.
Okay, sounds good. And it looks like, I mean, you saw the input from Michael Ushold.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So that would be a good synchronicity.
Yeah, and he has some Wells Fargo person who's looking for metadata.
Yeah.
So that's really good. I mean, that actually prompted me to look at look at what the EDM Council is doing, and I'm really surprised. I mean, how far they've taken this. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So I think it'll be a nice timely session. So like I said, I'll try for the first Tuesday in March and. A backup would be the second Tuesday. Just depending on Mike's schedule, because we'd want Mike Hushel to be online too.
Yeah. So and that Wells Fargo person, I mean, hopefully if he joins us, then that may be good. And I looked through that and I noticed, I mean, Wells Fargo is conspicuously missing from the EDM Council. Where is
that? Oh.
You have people like Bank of America, Barclays, Bloomberg, IBM, Citigroup, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, and Fannie Mae. I mean, all the big names. And Wells Fargo is missing.
Curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't have data. Let's finish with Michael first. So that's a metadata session. How about a standards session? You were also working on a common logic.
Yeah, well, that's not really part of this group, though. That's something you and I should probably talk about with John.
Right.
In a different context. But that's definitely, you're right. We've got to get that reinitiated. But I don't think that's part of OR.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that has been taken over by the Onto IOP bi-weekly meeting, sort of alternate week meeting. I don't know. I mean, whether or not it's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see when I kind of talk about that. That might be another way of dealing with the scheduling issue.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay,
so sometime in March.
Yeah.
Can you come back fairly soon and lock in a March date?
Yeah. I'll be sending mail to Mike and Mike right away.
All right. Great. Thanks.
All right. So.
I'm still here, Ken. For another
On the meeting page, Peter, could you just replace the items that are there in 34CI? They all look pretty out of date at this point.
Planning, okay. All right, sure.
That whole section there seems
All right.
Seems to be fixed. Well, I have to fix that. Anyway, and then the next API workshop. So that's top. What do you think?
What date, Ken?
End of February.
End of February, that last week, I'm unavailable. The 21st, I could be available.
21st might be a little too soon.
Okay. The 28th, I can't do anything. The OOR, anyway.
March 6th? Except that that would conflict with Michael's planning.
Yeah, let's see here. Well, what we could do is...
Well, you said one of the first 2 weeks of March. We'll just take the other one.
Yeah, but I got to find out from these other guys. So, yeah, we'll let's do that. Wait.
So you take whichever one you want, and then we'll schedule for the other one.
Okay, that sounds good. So Michael will be March 6th or March 13th, and then Todd and Ken will be March 13th or the 6th.
Okay. I'll put it on the calendar now before I forget. And we just have to think of a subject.
Okay, I also have content workshop, which I think we should have one fairly soon.
Well, the thing is,
we don't want to have.
No, the reason why I brought up the licensing issue was for the content. I mean, because the content often has licensing restrictions. Until we have licensing supported, it might be difficult for people to put content on the OR.
Then should we have a discussion as to how we're going to implement, you know, what needs to be done to support whatever we have to support for licensing?
Yeah, I mean, one of the complaints that Sawa constantly makes is that all these ontologies are so trivial. Well, that's because if you're going to put real work into it, you're probably going to have some kind of licensing restriction. Which means you're not even going to see these ontologies.
Well, actually, that brings up another issue then. If the ontology is licensed and someone wants to collect a fee for it, then how much are they willing to divulge to garner people's attention, you know, tease them?
So you do have to have something to advertise it. But
if we address that point. In the context of metadata and you know, how the operation of OOR would commence.
Can I interrupt? Gentlemen?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Sorry, I should have brought that up earlier. Since we agreed to do monthly team meetings on the first Tuesdays, so unless this very specific reason, maybe we should reserve the 6th for the team meeting. So how about if Michael aims for the 13th, and then would Todd and Ken be able to do another one this month? Well, there's
probably
three more Tuesdays. Yeah, there are three more Tuesdays. And
yeah, but Todd can't do it on the 28th.
How about 14 and the 21st?
I'm not sure we're going to have much to say on the 21st.
All right.
I mean, we have to get that tab in place and do some integration.
We could sort of branch off and have a discussion about the licensing stuff, or is that too is that premature?
Again, and until we have some kind of, infrastructure for specifying it, I think it would be premature.
Even without the infrastructure in parallel, we could come to some understanding of what we need to support, which at this point I don't think we have a good understanding. I certainly don't. You know, Michael brought up some issues with modular ontologies. If there's multiple licenses going on, how do you deal with them? Who wins, if you like? The issue of the metadata and the licensing, if someone wants to have a very strict license, how do they advertise their stuff? I mean, this could just be a general discussion to understand what the problem space really is. Or maybe it's just real simple-minded, and then we can solve it real fast and end the meeting quickly.
No, it's hardly a simple problem. No, the only reason why I feel it's a little premature is that the way we would actually be enforcing this would be within the gatekeeper.
Oh, yeah, understood.
We don't have the gatekeeper in place right now.
Understood. That's
all speculative.
Yeah.
Oh, we're past the half hour. Let's do dates.
So, yeah, we're past the deadline now. I mean, we certainly could have a meeting. It's just I'm not sure how productive it would be.
Okay, if we don't, then do we skip the next couple of meetings, or we skip one meeting and then meet on the 21st and then skip the 28th again? At one point, we actually did say we're going to meet alternate weeks. We never said we're going to meet every week.
It's probably a good idea, at least in the short term, until we're kind of in between.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah, we spend more time offline getting the codes or getting the beginning tabs in place, and then we're more to talk about. Maybe on the 21st, we talk about coding and getting the tabs to work. So it's not
that
architecture.
Would be
it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not.
Good idea for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Good idea. I like that.
All right. So the verdict is no meeting on 2/14 and 2/28, and then we meet on 2/21 about coding.
Okay.
So March 6th will be team meeting. So your two choices would be March 13th and 20th. Would that still be okay? Michael?
Yeah, I sent out the note now, so we'll see.
Yeah, 13 and 20, or?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I just sent out the note saying the 13th, so I'll just.
Okay.
We'll see what they say.
So tentatively, you have 13 and Ken has 20th. How about that? We will swap later if things don't work out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it looks good. Yeah, we've got all our meeting plans.
Great, right. So now it looks like a good time to adjourn.
Yes. Right. I second.
Okay. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Michael. Peter.
Brian.
Brian.
Adios.
Thank you.
Michael,
bye-bye.
Bye.